Hello, we're back. We've had a break. Hugh, because he has a real life, not like me, was busy. What was it? There was me. Oh, well, no, there's two reasons. I had my brother here, so I was busy. And then you had stuff to do at work, and you were busy. So there you go. Apologies. You've had to wait a little bit of time. But we are back now with another episode of Horizon Scan. Many things have happened. We've missed a fair few of them while we've been away. Feels like, I don't know. It feels like lots of things have happened over the past two and a half weeks-ish. I know when we weren't broadcasting, or we weren't, you know, prepping to do one like we do any prep. But I know there was things happening going, oh, that'll be good. And now we're here, and we've got other stuff that's fucking mental to talk about.
It also appears that you have a new Sin Eaters Guild cap in your lineup that is on your head right now. I've just spotted.
I do, but it's not on the website yet.
All right, okay.
It's not on the website yet. But yeah, I will. I might even put it on today. We'll see. It will go on soon. Anyway, shaped caps.
Will there be a discount code for Horizon Scan listeners?
No. We've got nothing on fucking Contact Coffee. Seriously, Contact Coffee, I've got, right. So I agreed. Tangents. I agreed ages ago to put a discount code on their site. And the idea is like a one-use thing, standard. You know, you go, you buy some stuff, you get a fucking discount. And there's a guy, my dad's who's listening to this, if he is, sorry, but there was a guy who was emailing Contact Coffee saying, my discount code's not working. They were like, well, yeah, it's a one-time use, you've used it. They're like, well, this guy basically wanted a discount forever now from saying stuff. Because you bought some Contact Coffee stuff. It's like, dude, come on. Don't take the piss. Yeah. Customer service stories. Like, obviously, people who run businesses. And I kind of run a business. I own a business. I kind of run it, I suppose.
You do run a business, you mum.
Well, yeah. But I mean, as in, like, people who run businesses actually know what they're doing. I have a fucking clue what I'm doing. I keep the ship afloat. I don't, like, run a business. Like, genuinely, if someone came in and said to me, I actually know what I'm doing in business. I'm a business person. I'm good at doing businesses. I will run your business. You know, fucking buy you out, whatever. You just keep control of fucking, you know, I keep enough control. So why have I gone blurry? There you go. I keep enough control so it doesn't go down the toilet and they don't wreck the brand if you don't understand it. I'd probably do it because, I don't know, business, as a business, Sega is shit. As a community and a thing, it's very good. But as a business, sort of the way most people would think about a successful business, it's basically saying it's like a lifestyle. They call it like a lifestyle brand or a there's another word for it. But there's a difference between a brand that just pays the bills and keeps you going, and a business that, you know, gets bigger, does more, improves, all that stuff. So yeah, if someone actually knew what they were doing when they sank, then it'd be better. But it doesn't have that. It has me. So you kind of stuck with this.
Where do I send my application? It's a cult, mate. The word you're looking for is a cult.
I know. It's a little bit. We know this. It's a little bit of a cult. But yeah, if someone actually knew what they were doing, it'd probably be a lot better than it is, but it's not. It's just fucking me. So I can't remember what we got on that tangent. Oh yeah, yeah. So if you were... So when you run a business and you deal with customer service and stuff like that, obviously 99.9% of customers are mega. And Sega is particularly good on that front. I'm not talking shit. We started in the start of 2017. Over the whole time we've been going, there's probably 10 not very customers. You know what I mean? I say that's not people with, like, you know, genuine complaints and things like that. Like 10 just knobheads.
Mm.
You know what I mean? But you do, there are some Contact Coffee and, you know, HR4K, anyone else who's in our little gang who runs a business, anyone else, I suppose, will know that your customers are an endless source of humor at times. So, yeah. If you wrote a book about it, it'd be quite funny, I think. So anyway, world's falling apart still. How are you?
I'm right, mate. I mean, some people are watching. Like, where is he? In a shed. I'm not in my parents' house in Wales. Again, juggling diaries. But everything back to normal next week, though. I'm good, mate. I think.
Good.
Although, good. Yeah. Although, like you said, there's just. I think when things start going, when lots of things start going a bit crazy all at the same time, I think it sends my brain a bit wild, and I'm not able to focus and think because the back of my head's going, what the fuck is going on? Like, yeah. You had the parliamentary shambles the night before last.
Yeah.
Which I think I sort of understand at a really high level. Maybe not. I'll listen to what you think first. You've got all these red flags, black swan event stuff in America.
I haven't noticed them quite as much.
I didn't think I had, but there was that solar flare, alleged solar flare outage of the AT&T yeah. network in America the other day. Yeah. What else has been going on? Well, we're going to cover Parliament today, aren't we?
So the things we're definitely going to talk about. Definitely going to talk about fucking Parliament and all things downstream of that that we've been talking about for a long time. We're going to talk about Google and their AI, which is obviously fucking both hilarious hilarious and incredibly serious at the same time. There was something else too. That I suppose if you can touch on that, Tucker and Mike Benz conversation, if you like.
You've also got Tucker and Putin.
Have we spoken about Tucker Putin?
No.
Haven't we?
Pretty sure we haven't. Okay. No, we haven't.
Okay, no. We don't have to go deep on that, but yeah, we mentioned it, I suppose. Okay. And everything else. But I mean, there's been quite a few things that have happened that I feel like we haven't talked about sort of in our it's just happened window. So yeah. But yeah, the first one, I suppose, is the Parliament thing. So you explain to me if I'm wrong with this. My understanding of the actual, my understanding of the technicality of what happened is Labour wanted to vote about a ceasefire in Gaza, and it wasn't meant to happen, it wasn't like on the books or something like that, so they pressured the Speaker of the House to allow them to vote, and this would they pressured, well, the story is that there was a lot of pressure put on the Speaker by Keir Starmer to have the vote because of pressure that MPs were feeling from people outside of Parliament who wanted that kind of thing, wanted that vote. And it broke normal daily running within Parliament. They obviously have a way things are meant to happen. The Speaker controls that to a certain extent. And yeah, they changed things. Effectively because of pressure from outside of Parliament and the Conservatives and everybody else in there who wasn't Labour or someone aligned with Labour got sad on and left. So that's am I correct? And that's what has happened pretty much. Obviously, we'll talk about the reasons why and why it's a good and why it's not a good thing, why it's a bad thing. But that's what actually happened, isn't it?
Yeah, it was Opposition Day. It was the SNP's opposition day. So there's like 20 of these opposition days throughout the year in Parliament and debates and like most of those opposition days, I think 17 of them go to whoever the biggest opposition is, which is Labour at the minute.
Okay.
And the rest, or at least one of them, go to the third biggest, which is SNP. The SNP wanted to the SNP tabled this motion and what would normally happen is there shouldn't be a provision. So Labour or anyone else wouldn't be allowed to make a motion to change any of it or make a request an amendment on it. This is not the done thing. Now, a lot of people talk about standing orders. I don't know if it's to do with standing orders or to do with some unwritten tradition or guidelines. Anyway, Labour tables amendment, and the Speaker accepted it. This is really fucking simplified down. And because the Speaker accepted it, it meant that the government withdrew the motion from Parliament. I think they had the power to do that, even though they weren't the ones that tabled it. They withdrew the motion from Parliament and from the House of Commons because they were like, you shouldn't be allowed to make this fucking, they shouldn't be allowed to make this amendment. It's bullshit. And the amendment changed, it changed the way the motion looked. So it changed it from, now let me get this right. The motion was to vote on the government calling for an immediate ceasefire in Gaza, right? And I think the Labour amendment was, they want to insert a word, and I apologise if I'm getting this wrong, but the Labour amendment was to call for an immediate humanitarian ceasefire. Now, whatever the fuck that means, but the way I see that insertion of that word, it adds a bit of ambiguity into what ceasefire actually means. When you say ceasefire is a ceasefire, people stop shooting. Right? When you add in humanitarian ceasefire, what does that mean? Does that mean, you can't strike areas where there may be civilian collateral damage, but you can strike others? It sounded to me like it was a word being inserted to allow the conflict to go on, allow Israel to do what they want to do, and Hamas to do what they want to do within certain guidelines, as opposed to a complete stop.
It's kind of moot, though, isn't it? It's one of those things. It's completely fucking. It doesn't matter because it's a meaningless vote. You know what I mean? It's basically, to my eyes, it is what a lot of Parliament does now, and it's what a lot of MPs seem to think their job is, which is to effectively virtue signal. It's just that vote is just a big virtue signal.
It's not that meaningless. I disagree on that. And the reason I say that is because if the motion gets passed and they vote to say that the government is going to call Israel to have an immediate ceasefire, that means that the government says to Israel, need to call a fucking immediate ceasefire. And that applies political pressure. But I say to Israel, to the both parties, it seems to Israel and Hamas, it applies political pressure to those two. To those two entities to stop fighting. So it does have meaning.
I'm not saying it's meaningless. I'm just saying the reality is it probably isn't going to affect that situation whatsoever because both sides within that situation are just going to do what they want anyway.
No, I don't. No, I disagree.
Okay, we disagree on that.
Well, let me explain. Because if
no, I know what you mean. I understand what you're saying. I just don't.
Because it also applies pressure to America.
The thing is, I don't really think it does either. I understand it in theory. It does, and maybe they do notice. Like, okay, this is a thing. Oh, right. Well, we wish they hadn't done that, or we wish they had done that. But people do what they want to do. You know, we know that people ignore things pressure.
The other side to it, again, building on what I just said, is the other side to it is there was this UN, was it UN vote where the UK and the US again vetoed calls for a fucking ceasefire from them.
Yeah.
Well, if all of a sudden the British government turns around and says, no, we're saying we should have a ceasefire because by the way, we voted on it and we're saying that's what we want. Then all of a sudden, the one major player that's vetoing the votes in the UN is only America, and applies more pressure to them. It's like the more people are on the opposition side to you, the harder it becomes to maintain that position you're in. If it contradicts everyone else,
I get it. But the UK's, the actual story, I think that's sort of downstream of something of this situation. I think what I'm trying to talk about is how it affects the UK, as in. The fact that this is what I think the story is like that. I understand, I see it more as a MP. Basically, I think UK MPs and lots of them, we're seeing this everywhere actually in the US, UK. MPs are more interested in trying to throw their hat into international issues than they are domestic issues because they can sound good, look good, chuck a good fucking few sound bites around, flagged themselves for positions in supranational organizations or whatever down the line after their career in politics finished by sticking their hat on certain international issues. And all that is easy. It requires no effort for them. They either look, get whatever they want to do done, and they look good for their future prospects in their eyes, or they don't, and then they're this hard-done-to person who's trying to fight for this good cause. That's a lot easier and has a lot less consequence than trying to sort out the problems of your constituents and do your actual job. Everyone wants to be seen on the international stage and talk about international issues and not talk about what they're actually paid to do, which is sort out your fucking, you know, local fucking council tax, fill some holes in the road in.
Yeah, I think, no, I don't think they don't do that. And I'm going to unusually defend politicians here. I don't think they don't do that. I think the only things that are visible to you as someone who isn't in their constituency is the things that they're talking about that are the national debate stuff. So, you know, I mean, let's take Keir Starmer, for example. I am sure that he will be doing things in his local constituency to, you know, like, yeah, you know, they sell the classics. Oh, those potholes that you all complain about are getting sorted. The buses, the bus timetables that you're not happy with. Yeah, we've applied pressure to improve the bus timetables and, you know, and shit like that. You call for a new park and you're putting a new park and you want more trees or whatever. They do that stuff. It's just not national news. You don't see it.
The evidence of people complaining says that they're not doing that stuff, though, doesn't it? They're not really doing that stuff, because that's connected to why the country is, or it's certainly daily life feels like it's on a bit of a downward spiral, because those things aren't happening.
But one person would call it a complaint. Another person would call it a local constituent raising their concern, which is what they're doing.
Yeah. But yeah, it's about getting stuff fixed, though, isn't it? Not about, you know, stuff isn't getting fixed, is it?
Because we're looking at the same thing. We're just calling it. We're looking at it from two different perspectives here, I think.
Okay.
Because the eyes and ears of a politician, of an MP, or the opposition, MP in a constituency, the eyes and ears are supposedly the constituents. So if the constituents don't say something about something they need to change or something they think is good, the MP doesn't know. So if the constituent says, hey, I don't like this thing, or I think this thing could be done better, then that's how the MP works out what needs to be done and what doesn't, based on how many people are saying the same thing, right? Or what could be done, or what needs to be considered, and what doesn't need to be considered. Now what you're saying is, well, that is, those constituents piping up and saying something is evidence that the MP isn't doing their job properly.
No, I'm saying, not that they're piping, I'm saying if things haven't been fixed, they are meant to be fixed. Things that have been talked about repeatedly,
I agree,
aren't being fixed, then they're not doing their job. I'm just saying MPs appear to have one eye on international stuff, at least, when actually your job isn't fucking Gaza, Israel. I mean, this is connected to the problem we're having now. Your job isn't Gaza, Israel. Your job is fucking, like you say, fill that pothole. That's your job as a local MP. And there's just tons of other stuff. But your job is not glamorous. Your job is not international. The British public care more about Britain than they do about Israel, Gaza, for instance. Now, you might be something that's deeply, you might wake up in the morning crying your eyes out about it. You might think it's an important issue that affects the world and all that stuff. However, it's an MP's job to fix the UK, not to fix Israel, Gaza. And there seems to be an awful lot of focus. And this is an international thing. This is happening in lots of countries. Everybody is more interested in throwing their hat into international engagements when your job is actually your local fucking council bullshit.
Yeah. And unfortunately, the way attention gets thrown about, so MPs will get attention and positive responses or negative, but they desire positive responses. And one of the major ways they can do that is getting it through basically a pipeline of exposure through one saying the right words in a parliamentary debate, for example, because they're all fucking televised.
Yep.
They're all televised. And then that leads to, if they say the right thing and they get the right buzzwords and they get a cool response on Twitter, and that leads to a more pipeline of media invites onto interviews, articles, all of that kind of stuff. So I see your point. I mean, what do you think about the way they televise the parliamentary debate? I sort of think they shouldn't do it for the reason I just said. I'm thinking about
it. I don't have an issue with that. I don't have an issue with it because you can go into Parliament, can't you? You can go in, like, there's like a gallery. I think you can go and stand in and watch this stuff. The televised stuff is just an extension of that. It allows, if you are somebody who really does care about, you know, politics and you want to see it in action, then that allows you to do it. I don't have an issue with that.
Mm.
I certainly would prefer it to not having it. I think we've kind of dodged, well, we've talked around the, what I think anyway, the big issue is, which is that the reason that the Speaker allowed this change of procedure was because he feared for the safety of MPs. And MPs are now, you know, crying about the fact that they're in danger and they feel under threat from people who want them to do a certain thing. And the reality is that the people that they feel under threat from are the people that we've seen every fucking weekend for the past forever marching about Israel and Palestine. Now, what you've seen there is fear of violence affecting MPs and enforcing Parliament to change the way it works.
Mm.
So that link between violent threat or fear of violent threat, and, you know, it's basically, it amounts to mob rule. It amounts to the mob pressuring to such an extent that MPs change the way they do things, and you know, the country effectively changes the way that it is, that it's run. Now, that's fucking dangerous. That's real dangerous. And it's happening because we've allowed something to fester for a long time, haven't spoken about it, and haven't clamped down on it. You know, the whole Israel-Gaza thing has been used, in my view anyway, has been used as a bit of a, I don't know, it's like a wolf in sheep's clothing. There are turd, I don't know, fucking hell. We keep changing the current thing we're calling these people seems to be Islamists. Right?
Right.
Yeah. So that's basically just like this extreme end of Islam. Very political end of it.
Mm.
And a lot of these people have been hiding in plain sight to push what they want during, as they've been using the Israel-Palestine thing as a way of pressuring and pushing and seeing what they can get away with regards to the law.
Mm.
And we've now got to such a situation where we haven't done anything about it for so long because everyone's fucking scared of saying, these people seem to be doing all the fucking, lots of the shit things. Don't like that. So scared of saying that, that they we really let them get away with too much. And now you've got a situation where that pressure outside of Parliament, that fear of, you know, violence against MPs is it amounts to mob rule. It's changing the way that we do things. Now, MPs are obviously calling, saying that they feel like they're in danger and they can't do their jobs, right? It's very interesting to me that most of these people, their constituents, have been saying this kind of thing for a long time, complaining about this type of stuff and things that this group do. We've seen it for years and years and years now. And the MPs have always just washed it off. They've always just gone, because it hasn't affected them directly. Obviously, you know, a couple of them have been killed. Hasn't affected them directly, particularly. And they've basically just ignored their constituents and made excuses and dodged around the issue. Now, when it's actually affecting them directly, they think they should be like, well, I should be able to do my job without, you know, safely. And obviously, yes, you should. And it's the police's job to ensure that that happens. However, there is a part of me that goes, you fucking eat what you ordered. You know, the country is in this situation because you haven't done your jobs and it forced other people to do their jobs for so long that it's now directly affecting you. So, fuck you. There is part of me that thinks like that. But it's time to do something about it, because we're going to get in a real fucking murky situation, especially if Labour win. Now, that's not a Labour Conservative thing. If you've listened to this podcast like for long enough, you should know we're not fucking in on that stuff. We don't pick sides in this thing. They're both about each other. However, it's Labour appear to be, well, when it comes down to it, Labour rely on that vote. Labour rely on the Asian vote. That's not me fucking chucking all Asians in with turned Muslims. It's not. But Labour rely on that Asian immigrant vote. So they pander to them.
Why?
Because they do. Well, because of my, it appears to me, because it's something. I mean, this is why it actually shows up how close the Conservatives are to Labour now. Because what I was going to say there is, because a lot of these people come in and they live on benefits. Obviously, there's plenty of people that live on benefits, but lots of people come in and they live on benefits. Traditionally, it's been the left that's been more likely to lob out benefits to people and support people, because that's what the left does. It has these, you know, it's very social based in theory, and it wants to do these safety nets and look after people. I've seen the Conservatives haven't done anything about that for all this time, particularly. So it's still a thing. But traditionally, Labour in particular need this, what they would say would like is the working class voters. Now they're sort of, it's probably not working class. This is actually me talking about this and thinking about it now. It is, it's thrown up so many old ways of thinking about things that aren't really relevant anymore. And it does, it shows how close both parties are together. Because I'm talking about this sort of class of people who, are reliant on free social housing and, you know, things to support their income. And it's all happened under, obviously, those things you think of as growing up as being traditionally a left-wing thing, but the Tories have kept it going the whole time. It's quite interesting. But, maybe I'm talking shit on that one. But I think I do.
It's always been in place, is it not? It's just a question of how generous that support is, and that's what's changes between whichever party's in power.
Well, then I suppose what I'm saying is, whoever comes in next, the way we feel like Labour are going to come in next, because the Tories, I mean, who knows? They're both so shit at the moment, but Tories might scrape it. But there is a large portion of the populace who are reliant on this stuff, who need it to keep going. And that's not even judging whether people are pulling the wool or not. There is a lot of people whose lifestyle depends on these things continuing, and they will vote for whoever is more likely to continue those things because their lifestyle and, you know, their ability to feed their family depends on it. So there's a danger that you start pandering to that vote. As a political party, you start pandering to that vote, and you can be taken advantage of if you allow groups within that sort of big group start twisting your arm over stuff, which is what we're seeing with the Israel-Palestine thing.
Yeah, it may also be to do with that bubble that they sometimes exist in. Politicians, civil servants in that London bubble, where what they in that the way demographic breakdown, the voter breakdown, the every single breakdown within the city, city being fiction, but within London, they perceive that to be a representation of the UK as a whole. And if you consider it like that, then it would, if you're looking at it like that, then you would make the mistake of thinking that on a nationwide level, immigrants or Asian people are more important to the national public opinion of your party than they actually are. Doesn't mean then they're not important. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, but it's I understand what you're saying, but obviously it's not
The
just London.
other thing is that Labour are stuck between a rock and a hard place at the moment. Like real, they, I mean, internally it must be mayhem because they're being pushed towards call for ceasefire in Israel and condemn Israel's actions, or push for ceasefire in that conflict and condemn Israel's actions. And in their eyes, they probably still think they've got this big need to still be perceived as not anti-Semitic.
Well, yeah, it's been, it is the only, the whole Israel Gaza thing has thrown up, and it's probably the only sort of good side of it. It has thrown up hypocrisy everywhere because it's not easy for you to just, the stuff we were talking about where you just go, oh, that's obviously right side of history, fucking, I'm a good guy stuff. Like you might believe that there is a side of it, you know, it's whatever you believe. However, it's not something that you can easily just go, that's how I look good. Put my hat on that. You can't do it because there's problems on both sides. You can't easily hang your hat on one and look good. And it's made everybody choose. It's made everyone do their job. What do I believe in? Who do I think is more at fault? Because everyone's at fault in that situation. Where you can't do it. It's not an easy thing to do. So they've been forced to do it. And I think it's great. The way everyone's had to try and dance around it. It's probably, like I say, it's probably the only good thing about the whole situation. You know, and Labour are fucked because, like I said, like exactly like you say, they have this, they seem to have had issues with anti-Semitism in the past. There is a certainly part of their old gang, at
Yeah,
least,
but
has a problem with it.
depending on the definition of it, it's like if you were to look back and judge things they've condemned themselves for, or other people have condemned them for that would be described as anti-Semitic over the last, I don't know, 5 years or 10 years, and to go back and judge those same actions on what the definition of anti-Semitic, the perceived definition of anti-Semitic was 20 years ago, you wouldn't draw the same conclusion. You know, like the term anti-Semitism has been, don't know how to explain it. Like it's like, you know how everyone's become extremely sensitive over any risk of offending anyone ever. That these terms that once meant really important things like anti-Semitism and racism and sexism and all that have been completely bastardized to mean that anything you do can be perceived as one of these things,
Well, yeah.
depending on who wants to make the judgment, which is
But
bad.
that's the, and it's
Because
deliberate.
then what it does is it hides actual anti-Semitism,
Exactly.
actual racism, actual sexism.
Yeah, and it's deliberate. So, you know, like as you're saying there, so anti-Semitism to some people means absolutely anything negative about Jewish people. However, some people who will be tarred with that anti-Semitism brush don't have a problem with Jewish people at all. They just don't like the foreign policy of Israel.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? And
Yeah,
that's an absolutely legitimate thing to think. Now, It's deliberately thrown in the same bucket to shut you up. Now, that's not making a judgment about any of it, but that is a fact. And you can absolutely have no issue with fucking Jews. No issue whatsoever. You might be, and there are fucking thousands of them, you might actually be a Jew yourself. And you do not think, you do not agree with the foreign policy decisions of Israel, or you don't like the political leadership of Israel currently, and you want to criticize that. That's not anti-Semitism. It's not the same thing.
It's like an attempt at other people, isn't it? Except that, like, your point doesn't work well with Israel and Palestine.
Shut you up. And it's the best one.
But they do it with everything. I think I tweeted them this the other day. You know, it's like condemning the way, if you think that there's a Trump witch hunt going on, right? Condemning that and condemning the Biden administration, people will say, well, you're a fucking Trump supporter. But it's not. You can condemn the way you think he's been witch hunted, but not support him and not like him. You know, you should be able to condemn, if you want to, condemn Israel's actions in the conflict, but not be anti-Semitic. You should be able to condemn Hamas's actions in that conflict, but not be anti-Islam. But they'll throw you into the box to try and other you. And
exactly.
And it's all deliberate. People will allow themselves to be thrown in the box, will allow themselves to be, and allow themselves to be shut up in that way and fear-mongered into not saying something.
Yeah. And it's like they will.
Go on.
Sorry. No, go on.
But the interesting thing, what you said there with Israel-Palestine, well, to build on what you said there, it's really difficult to do that at the minute, because both sides seem to have equal weight. Both sides of the argument seem to have equal weight. Arguably, the Palestinian side is out that the people support, Western people support for Palestine seems to be outweighing the support for Israel, which really doesn't sit well with America. It certainly doesn't sit well with, although not on a bigger scale in the UK.
Yeah, but it's like this does tie into what we're talking about with the issue at hand with this Parliament thing and people bullying and using an issue to hide behind.
Mm.
Now, there are within the Muslim population of the UK, there are, as with every kind of people, absolutely normal, I'm getting on with my fucking life, just leave me the fuck alone people. Absolutely. There is also a group within them who will choose their religion over absolutely anything else and would quite like to slowly start bringing in aspects of their religion widespread within the UK, even if it's only certain areas. These people exist, and they've used the protest each weekend to see what they can get away with, to push this slowly.
Mm.
Now, you can't talk about that. And it's these people that the MPs are scared of. You know, but we've seen this because they're very willing, absolutely 100% willing to get political and to throw their weight around these people. And we've seen it. You remember, like, we had like that, there's that head, you know, that teacher that's been in hiding for something like 3 years now. Because he said something, he standard fucking said something about Muhammad. Groups turned up to fucking fill the guy in, and he's been hiding ever since. That's not acceptable in the UK. That type of thing, these people are absolutely fine to turn up and start throwing their weight around. And that's, like I say, they've used the protests each weekend as a way of doing this. And the police, unfortunately, have the Met Police, sorry guys, but you fucking, and I'm sure it's not people on the ground, I'm sure it's your fucking leadership, but leadership certainly massively dropped the ball on it. And they've kept it going week after week after week. So these people now feel very emboldened to be threatening towards MPs and, you know, general people who don't feel like they agree with what these people are talking about. However, you may get called a fucking Islamophobe for mentioning something like that. I think being an Islamophobe is a completely legitimate position because it's a religion. It's not racist. It's not a people. It is a religion. You are allowed to go, if you want, I think that's bullshit, and I'm not down with it. You're allowed to say that. You're allowed to criticize elements of it. That's fine. We have that in the UK. You're allowed to fucking criticize this stuff. And so we've got to a situation where we're basically just being too nice, letting people get away with things who aren't playing by the same rule book as you are. You're still playing on this, well, everyone's going to play the game and be nice.
And but they're just not. But if you should be allowed to criticize a religion.
Yep.
Is that the same as saying you should be allowed to criticize people who are part of that religion?
Well, what do you mean? Because you are in effect doing it. Are you trying to say, oh, what are you trying to link it? Are you trying to link it to the Judaism Jew thing?
No, I'm just asking the question. Is that the way?
Well, you might question that individual.
If you're criticizing the religion, you're criticizing the people who follow that religion, right?
Indirectly, yeah, I suppose you are.
So are you allowed to criticize a country?
Yeah. You can criticize anything you want.
Yeah, I agree. I agree.
You can criticize anything you want. You're allowed to do it.
It goes back to the hate crime, speech crime stuff, doesn't it?
But it was, yeah, it all links in together. Like, you, as long as you're not inciting violence, and obviously people are trying to wash out what that inciting violence means. That's why words of violence. No, they're not. But as long as you're not inciting violence, dude, you can fucking say what you want.
Yeah, I saw actually on that words of violence thing, I saw a headline or a line, a story a couple of days ago, and they were talking about having to increase the punishment for non-physical contact sex crimes.
Like, what?
I think, yeah, non-physical contact sex crimes. And I had to give that a real think. And then I looked at, what does that mean? And then looked into the looked at the article, and it was one of the examples was flashing.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm not sure about being put on the sex register for flashing.
Well, if someone fucking... No, I can't. What? I think it depends where you're flashing and who you're flashing.
Unless it's to a kid.
But that's what I mean. Yeah. If you're like one of your little girls got fucking flashed by some dude, you'd be like, I think that guy's a criminal. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I'm not saying it shouldn't be criminalised anyway. I just need to give it a bit more thought. This is a random tangent we've gone on to.
Yeah, but that's the job of a judge, though, isn't it? You arrest that guy, and you stick him in front of a judge, and the judge goes, yeah, you're a turd. No, you're not. That's what we pay judges for.
This is the thing, isn't it? It's that onto the speech crime stuff. You know, I think you should be allowed to say whatever you want to say, right? But if in doing that, you continue on from the word you say to doing something that actually brings about something bad, criminal, then that should be punishable. But not just simply saying the words alone.
Exactly. All you're saying is a crime is punishable. Doesn't matter what happens before the crime. Once you do the crime, then it's punishable.
What about though, if you, let's say you're on X on Twitter and you say, folks, you need to go and kill this guy or this woman.
Yeah.
That's just words, right? You're just saying something there. But what if you mean it and you're actually calling people to go and kill someone or hurt them or do something else?
Well, with that, inciting violence, that is effectively inciting violence. It is speech.
Mm.
It is speech. I mean, I think most of the, certainly, I don't know, we talk about X, but
you're not allowed to do definition that. I suppose if the incitement of violence means is very well defined, is clear, with clear boundaries to it, and it's not open to interpretation and there's no ambiguity there, then that works well, right? But I think the problem is now there's deliberate ambiguity thrown in and it's open to interpretation a lot of the time. Because of people's opinion on what violence is, like you just said. Words can be violent.
You do have to take stuff. I'm sure when what you would like to think, for example, like a social media account, if I go, like I have on occasion commented under things saying blend him and things like that. You know what I mean? That I have done that. Now, you might look at my stuff and go, Jesus Christ, this guy has a pattern of telling people to fucking be fed into Blender. You have to look at the influence of the individual. You have to look at their pattern of behavior. Is that pattern of behavior directed towards a specific person? Is that pattern of behavior directed towards a specific group of people? And then you might go, you might not arrest them, but you might bin their account.
Right. So what if someone actually goes out and blends someone in 5 years' time?
Well, fuck, don't I? You could then you would then start a legal process, wouldn't you?
Is that your fault?
Well, I suppose it depends. If it's somebody who is
I'm glad I didn't start a monologue when you dropped off, because it would have been a long monologue of about 10 minutes.
I know. Right. Well, okay. So, but do you say 48 minutes we cut out as? Pretty much. Oh, that doesn't matter. I'll look later. So, anyway, quite interesting. The internet dropped just when I was talking about using the seg cult to put people enders. Yeah, but that was the point I was going to make. It was like, if you actually looked at me and said, okay, this guy has this weird cult following with fucking people who have the symbol tattooed on them. And he's telling them to blend people. If one of the fucking seg people actually blended someone, I might be in the shit. So please don't put people in blenders.
But here's the question. Should you be? If you say blend jokingly, right? Say about someone, blend him, right? But you're not saying blend him. You're saying your use of that expression is to say you don't like that person or what they're doing. And you're just using that expression to demonstrate that you don't like him. You're not using the expression to actually say blend him, right? So 5 years down the line, after you saying it, I don't know, maybe 6, 7, 8 times a year, maybe more than that, right? But privately, but publicly, 6, 7, 8 times a year about random people, yeah, blend him. And someone actually goes and blends a person, right? Should you be prosecutable?
Well, I suppose you could try to do it, and it would be, at the end of the day, it would be.
I'm not asking if you should be prosecutable.
And I'm saying, well, prosecutable just means that you can try and prosecute me. It doesn't mean that I'm guilty. It means I suppose legitimately you could put me as part of a case about why that person got blended. Yeah.
Oh, you're being pedantic. You know what I mean? Should you go to jail for that?
No, I don't believe I should, but that's not my decision. That is a judge's decision. I think you could legitimately tie me to a case. If someone turned around and said, but Gaz said so, if the person who did it said, no, but Gaz said I had to go and do it, I'm going to be involved in that case, obviously. It's then down to a judge to decide how much influence I actually had on that person. That's why we have judges. That's why we have a legal process.
I get that. But I'm asking you, do you think you should go to jail for it?
Well, I don't think I should. Obviously. Right. But I could see why it could be argued. You could try to argue that
it should not be able to be argued. Bullshit. If the context of you saying it is nothing to do with actually doing it, and it's obvious that the context is you're not using that phrase.
It's only obvious because you know me. It's not if I'm a stranger, it's not obvious.
Right.
Don't look at any other stuff about me online, nothing. There was a person just put in, like, just think about it. There was a person put in front of you.
Not realistic.
I'm just saying, there's a person. How the fuck have I got into a thing where I'm argued that I should go to prison? I think that's it. If you only think that, like your instinct is to go, well, no, words aren't violence. I don't think what saying that online should be a thing. I understand that. And I do kind of agree with you. I do obviously agree with you. But I can see how if you didn't know anything about me and you were someone who, you know, just has this thing, this me and this seg thing put in front of you and goes, look, there's hundreds of people online who have this symbol tattooed on them that this guy invented. And they're all lived. There's lots of aspects of it that seem cultish. He is the cult leader. He has told these people, he has made a statement about blending an individual. This person here takes this very, very seriously and sees this guy, maybe misguidedly, as his fucking leader. And so, contraband on your dad there, sees this guy as his leader. And he has gone out, because this guy's told him to do something, he's gone out and done it. You can see, I think
we've talked about this in the past, right? So it's, I think we have anyway, where I think as your power grows, and like in power in this context, I mean your ability to influence what people think or say or do, right?
Yeah.
Then you should be laden with a bigger responsibility and should own a bigger responsibility for the care you take in forming your words and what you say and being aware of the impact they have. So when I think about that, then maybe in this discussion, you know, if someone was saying blend in and they're just Joe Blogs on Facebook or wherever, and they've got, I don't know, let's say 5 followers, and one of these people, of those 5 followers, listen to this guy saying blend him, and they actually go and blend someone. That should be treated very differently in the eyes of the law, or judged in the eyes of the law, to the cult leader doing it, or Trump saying it. Because it's like, you should have fucking known better. Now, maybe it doesn't mean you throw those, it doesn't mean that Gaz gets thrown into jail for, you know, accessory to murder, or like, or what's the, or whatever else, like murder related thing. But it would mean that you get your fucking knuckles wrapped bad and not even knuckles wrapped, you get seriously punished in some way, shape or form, you know.
This is kind of what I'm saying. I can see why, if that happened, I would be part of an investigation, certainly. Somebody would look at me. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Just so, we didn't even fucking talk about the outage, right? So my internet dropped there. It's quite interesting. I was for fucking hell, Bulgaria have let me down. But I worked out what it was. I had a VPN running to the UK. So it was a UK outage at some point, not a Bulgarian one. Yeah, it surprised me that it was Bulgaria, because the internet here is ninja booming. Impossible to fuck all. But yeah, we haven't talked about anything else that's interesting. We've just talked about this stuff.
Well, we can tie it onto the next episode, can't we?
It has to be out of date by then. If it will be overtaken, the way things are moving, it'll be overtaken by events.
Well, why don't we do them on Sunday?
On Sunday?
Yeah, we there's been a gap, hasn't it? We've had a gap, or you've had a gap. I say we, this isn't my podcast. I'm just a guest. I don't want any responsibility whatsoever. I'm not saying blend him, Your Honour. I just used to death. I was just a guest on Gaz's podcast. Please don't jail me.
Yeah.
You can always do another one, mate. Sunday. I don't mind doing it.
Okay. Well, let me know what this bloody judges
on Sunday. Solar flares cause a network outage.
Yeah, exactly. It could happen. Could have happened. I want to talk about the Google thing because it's so fucking funny.
The Google thing. Should we do it on Sunday? Have you got time, Sunday?
Okay. Yeah. Should have time. Okay.
We can double up, can't we?
Yeah. Yeah,
I feel like you're reluctant to commit on air.
No, I'd be happy to do it. I'm just trying to think on the fly when I'm doing on Sunday. Not that I'm particularly busy. I'm still here on my own. My missus is still at home, recuperating. She needs to fucking get a grip, come back. I'm fucking bored.
If she doesn't, I'll see you. You'll have me.
Yeah, when are you coming again?
End of March.
End of March, okay.
Towards the end of March. I don't want to give the dates on air. Sorry.
No. She'll be here. She'll be here by then. She's got, after the 28th, she's got no excuse not to be here. So she'll be here. So, yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Cool. Well, apologies for the break. Apologies for the fact that the fucking internet went down in the middle there.
You're gonna clip that gap out, aren't you?
Well, yeah. But I like to acknowledge it because it's weird.
Okay.
I don't try and hide our fuck ups. I talk about our fuck ups. Yeah. So okay. Well, thanks for listening.
You're supremely deflated, aren't you? Because that gap has really knocked you.
It's just annoyed me. I don't like it when this shit goes wrong. It's annoyed me because it's eaten fucking 10 minutes. We could have talked about other stuff. I feel like we talked about the Parliament thing and hate crime, me going down for incitement to murder. Yeah. Anyway. Right, we're doing another episode. We'll do it on Sunday. So Sunday evening-ish. Look out for another episode. Just want to go out today. Today is Friday.
While people are waiting for that, if you aren't aware, folks, go and have a look at Gemini AI and Google why they pulled their image generator in the last, it's the 23rd of February. They pulled the generator in the last 20, the image generator in the last 24 hours. And I'm guessing most people, a lot of people won't know what we're talking about, because I mentioned this to my father last night about the Gemini. He didn't have a clue what we're talking about. And I started showing him all the stuff about Google's Gemini image generator, and he couldn't believe it. And we are not politically aligned. He is far left of me, which surprises me.
Yeah.
But you
will look at it. We won't go into it. You will look at the images and go, oh, this is someone taking the piss based on a smaller issue. You're looking at this can't be right.
That's exactly what he did. So he's one of these guys. In his generation, he only believes any value to of quality to information stories that are in newspapers and on online mainstream media. If he sees something or anything that's not that, bullshit. Well, but how do you know that's real? That's exactly what he's like. And I had that for 10 seconds last night until I started showing him all the different stuff about images, and he couldn't believe it.
You'll think it's made up, but it's not made up.
It's not.
And it's actually, if you've got a brain in your head, as we'll talk about on Sunday, it's actually incredibly serious.
Yeah.
Even though it's funny. As lots of things are. Right?
Yeah.
Go in. Oh. Have a nice day.
See you later.
Bye.